the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Welcome to the first Monday of 2014, and American Adversaries are here live at Drive Time on the new AM 660, The Answer. Blair Adams with you, and do you think it's going to be cold in Orlando tonight? How about North Dakota, where it's going down to 70 below with a wind chill? Is that cold? No, not when you compare that to the cold shoulder you'll get when you go for medical treatment with your Obamacare. That is, even if you can even find a doctor who will take it. Oh, and take cash, poor people. This ain't your daddy's emergency room care. No mo. You can call our host, especially if you want a boatload of I told you so's, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so very much, Blair Adams. And once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this cold and getting colder. Hope you're ready for it tonight. In all seriousness, this is a night where you want to protect those pets and plants if they are the types of plants that can be hurt by cold weather. So we don't know how cold it'll get tonight.
If it stays breezy, that's some protection, may calm down.
Yeah, but it is definitely going to be probably the chilliest evening of the year. Cold tomorrow, but then a quick warm-up. So it won't last long, even though it is going to get really cold Florida-wise. Of course, you look at the rest of the nation, and I'll take this any day of the week. That's for sure. But, you know, it's really weird. I started out this morning in two pairs of socks, but I had shorts and a T-shirt on. Now I've got three pairs of socks, jeans on, and three shirts. It's not going to be enough when I leave here.
That was a big temperature change. You know, I was looking on the board on Fox News, was talking about minus, I think they were saying for Tampa? And it was a weird number. Yeah, they usually put the degrees on there.
Yeah.
And they had this thing of like minus 18. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And then she starts talking about, that's the temperature drop.
Drop.
Yes.
Yeah, and in probably just a few hours. So once again, it's going to get cold tonight, folks. You already know that. But just be prepared for a cold day tomorrow as well. Okay, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Baca ride that's coming up this Sunday here shortly. Nostra Dennis is going to join us a little bit later. We're going to talk to him about some news. In particular, I want to talk to him about, you know, our friend Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Has done something that another guest on our show has said that some senator had ought to do, and he has filed suit against the administration, trying to force the administration to make members of Congress have to abide by Obamacare just like everyone else. So we'll talk about that with him a little bit. We're also going to talk to Nostra Dennis about a couple of other subjects of interest, one having to do with bus drivers not being allowed to pray for the dead daughter of one of the drivers. So it gets even more and more bizarre. But first, I would like to talk just a few minutes about something that's happening around here. We've got a new name, not our show, but the station does. 660 News Talk 660 WORL is no longer. We are now AM 660 The Answer. And more importantly, we are intelligent conservative AM 660, The Answer. We talked about this on our show a little bit last night. And by the way, we had a really, really fun show last night. If you missed it, or if you just want to hear it again, go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and click on the archive button. But this is a recommitment by Salem Communications to conservative talk radio here in the Orlando area. This is just the beginning of some fun stuff that's going to be happening this spring that's going to culminate in you having a better listening experience. And we're happy to be part of it. And if you just want to make a comment about it, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call, 407-774-8255. The phone number stays the same, but we are now AM 660, The Answer.
And it's not just going to be the lineup that's changing, folks. There are some big changes coming up ahead that we can't tell you about.
Speaking of the lineup, it did change slightly. If you've been listening today, you may have noticed. Still have Bill Bennett 6 to 9 a.m. However, now we have 3 hours of Michael Gallagher from 9 to 12. And then 3 hours of Dennis Miller from 12 to 3. Then you have Michael Medved, then us, then Gary Kaltbaum. And then Dennis Prager has been moved from the afternoon until 7 to 9. And then you'll have Hugh Hewitt picking it up at 9. So in essence, what they have done is added 2 fresh hours of conservative talk to the schedule by adding an hour to Gallagher and Miller and shifting Dennis Prager to the evening hour. So once again, you know, we're very happy that Salem Communications is doubling down, if you will, on the Central Florida market, and we're real happy to be right here in the thick of it. All right, I see we have a caller on the line. Oh, it's Brad. Brad, how you doing this afternoon?
Oh, hey, guys. I wanted a short comment on CNN, reliable sources, and a lot of the liberal mainstream media, including David Gregory over Meet the Press. They commented on the New York Times. I'm sure you guys know about the New York Times revisiting Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
And once again, doubling down on the videotape. I believe this is all prepping for Hillary Clinton's inevitable announcement. So they're doing all they can to, you know, get her out of that specter, that cloud of suspicion. But my question to you is it despicable that they're lying, doubling down under the guise of good reporting when Bill O'Reilly pointed out that it's a bunch of bunk? How can they get away with this?
Well, we talked about this, Brad. I know you listened to our Drive Time show, but we talked about this not last night, but the prior Sunday night. We spent a good amount of time talking about this because that's the day that the article came out. It was that weekend's New York Times main story. And basically the way I characterized it is more or less what you're saying is they're trying to help Hillary Clinton out. And I characterized it as them coming out with the final word. This is what really happened. And now we can move on and we don't have to worry about this anymore. It was tragic, but here's the real truth. Unfortunately, it it begged more questions than it answered.
Yeah, it really did. It ruined it. And guys, what I see this as, Brad, as Hillary is kind of on the precipice. This is the media's last gasp to stick with this woman, because if she can't make it through this, eventually they're going to abandon her, because she's obviously going to be a loser, and none of the press want to be involved with a loser.
You know, I was watching The Morning Joke this morning, Brad, and I know you watch it sometimes, and I forget the governor's name, but it was a Democratic governor from, Idaho or somewhere like that. But he evidently was quite successful as a governor. And boy, they were just fawning all over him. I believe Hillary's day has come and gone. The media is giving her all the, you know, appropriate, from one liberal to another, you know, gratitude, if you will, but at the end of the day, Hillary's day has come and gone. And that story that you're referring to, it was a blatant attempt to clean up that mess for both her and President Obama. But as I said, it was a feeble attempt, because all it did was beg more questions than it answered. Does that answer your question, Brad?
It does, except it, like, again, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, sure.
You can't make things up under the guise of good reporting if you're going to reporters.
Sure you can. It's called propaganda.
And
that's what you have to understand. That is different than news.
Well, let's just put it this way, Brad. Just be happy that you can see through it.
Yeah.
Because too many people cannot. So just be glad that you can, and in a way, be glad that there is an example of it out there that you can point to and say, you see, that's BS, and it's pure unadulterated, too. So thank you very much, Brad. We appreciate you being out there so very much. I also want to talk, before we move into the break, Nick, please give me a couple more minutes here. You know, a lot of times the Saturday newspaper is the newspaper, folks, you need to read. Why is that? Because that's when the liberal media prints the stories they don't want you to see, because they know that the Saturday newspaper is the one day of the week that is the least read newspaper. So that's why I always pay particular attention to the Saturday newspapers.
Plus, they have the weekend to start the spin machine working
for
Monday.
It's like, you know, you have these information dumps on Friday evening at the White House. When is that information printed? In the Saturday newspaper, right? That's why they do it on Friday night, because they know it's going to wind up in the Saturday newspaper. So I just want to refer to a couple of articles in this Saturday's Orlando Sentinel. I talked a lot about last night about this Saturday's Wall Street Journal. So today I'm going to focus on this Saturday's Orlando Sentinel. And here on page, 3A or A3 at the bottom, and it's titled, Pentagon Cuts Locations of Troops' Danger Pay. What this means, folks, is like when my nephews go into a danger zone, Iraq, Afghanistan, or any place like that, they actually get hazardous duty pay. Right? They get more pay.
Because it's more dangerous
because
there.
Because it's more dangerous. Only now, they're going to cut back on some of those locations. They're dropping locations such as Saudi Arabia, which is a dangerous area. Bahrain, dangerous area. Other Gulf states, dangerous areas.
How about Iraq?
Well, we don't have any.
We have some troops there.
Well, you're right. Very few. But those will stay. Those two will continue to go. They will also get it for Jordan, Turkey, and for whatever personnel we have in Syria. It doesn't mention them, but I presume it would also be good for Syria. But isn't that something? You know, once again, here's our military bearing the brunt of liberals driving the country into bankruptcy. Oh, yes, let's take it out of the pockets of the military, who don't get hardly enough appreciation as it is. Oh, boy, that really burns me up. And then there's this. Now, this is on the opinion page, the same Saturday newspaper, page A11. This is by John L. Casey, and I haven't told him yet, but I'm going to ask Nostradamus to see if he can't get Mr. Casey onto the show, because evidently he is he is the president of the Space and Science Research Group in Orlando. So he's a local guy. Maybe he's listening right now. But he has written an excellent article about quote-unquote global warming or quote-unquote climate change. The title of his article is Natural Cycles of the Sun Will Bring Worse Cold in 200 Years. He's done anybody who's actually done any research understands that the weather on this planet works in a cyclical fashion. Now, it's never the same one cycle to the next, but you can pretty well do some pretty good predicting in a general sense if you understand the cycles. This is, and I talked about this before, and Nick backed me up, this is one of the reasons why Walt Disney came to Orlando, Florida. He did his homework. He understood that the storms come on a cyclical basis, and that even then, when they do hit, by the time they get to Central Florida, they've lost most of their oomph. I need two more minutes, Nick, please. Thank you. So if you do your homework, you understand the cyclical nature of the weather patterns of this planet. And a fellow by the name of John Lovelock, he's now known as Sir John Lovelock, and he's a big global warming
monkey muck.
Yeah. He's actually written an excellent book where he explains, he actually reveals the fallacy of the global warming argument, because he talks about how the planet Earth, how our temperature works on a similar situation as your home thermostat. okay? When you go home tonight and you set your thermostat, let's say you set your thermostat, let's just say for easy numbers, 70 degrees. Now, when you set your thermostat on 70 degrees, let me ask you something. Does the temperature in your house go to 70 degrees and stay at 70 degrees?
It goes to 70 degrees, and it turns off until it has to be turned back, until it tells
exactly.
us to turn it back on.
Exactly.
Has to
in
readjust.
Other words, right. So what happens is your heater heats the room to 70 degrees, and then, as you say, it turns off. And what happens then? The room cools. And then when it cools to a certain point, your heater turns back on. Lovelock discovered that this is what has been happening with the Earth's atmosphere for, guess what? Billions of years. Long before human beings came along to screw things up. And what this man is talking about is that we have now seen the peak of the global warming part of this latest cycle, and it is now dipping toward the cooling part of the cycle.
So now it's man-caused global cooling.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, if you've heard, there's news all over the TV today about the polar vortex. I love this because they don't understand what they're talking about with the vortex. But in fact, I'll just throw this out there. The vortex is the fundamental force of the universe. It's not gravity. All right? The gravity is a result of vortexian forces. But there is what they call a global vortex. At the polar vortex at
yes.
the North Pole that affects the weather. And somehow global warming has messed up the polar vortex, and that's why we're having cooling. Okay?
Huh?
That's what a logical, huh? That's what a brain who is thinking says.
Huh? Wait, hold it.
Yeah.
Hold
huh?
it.
Well, I've already extended this segment twice. I want to finish this up when we come back. But it's... Goes without saying, folks, it's going to be cold tonight. Whether it's global warming or not, it's going to be cold. We'll be right back.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad, and you don't want to make him mad.
Oh, this is Buck Mills, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American adversaries. You better listen, don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a
All right, welcome back. And you folks, this is why we hired Nostradamus away from Limbaugh and Stern and Imus and all them other guys up there to New York.
All them other?
Yeah, just got this from Nostradamus. John L. Casey is booked for Thursday. He's going to be on with us Thursday. Thank you very much, Nostradamus. I don't want to speak too much for the man, but let me just read a little bit from his article here. He says, the truth of what is really happening to the climate versus the United Nations and current U.S. government version is, however, a bit hard to accept after two decades of global warming propaganda. I know. It was for me in April 2007 after finishing some research into solar activity. I had concluded that global warming was ending and a potentially dangerous cold climate was beginning. Such was my first public climate prediction with several more to come. My announcement then to the White House, Congress, and the mainstream media was, of course, greeted with the expected indifference, ridicule, and even slander. Now it's almost 7 years later and the track record of my Space and Science Research Corporation in making major climate change predictions is one of the best in the United States according to public records. I'm going to jump forward now. According to the hard climate data and not the politics of climate change, global warming ended years ago, exactly when it was supposed to, according to natural cycles of the sun, the primary controller of climate change on Earth. The next climate change to a long, cold era may well reshape the future of humankind through massive global crop losses, social upheaval, and significant loss of life. This is what happens during climate cooling periods. The productivity of the Earth goes down, not up. That's why when global warming was going on, I was going, hey, hallelujah for that. Finally, he says, the seawalls and numerous other barriers to the truth. He is writing this op-ed, by the way, in response to a fellow who was a greenie himself, who said, look, we can't do anything about climate change. Let's just go ahead and build higher seawalls. So he's responding to him. The seawalls and numerous other barriers to the truth about the Earth's climate status have already been built to enormous heights. We need no more. Now, when we talk to him, Mr. Casey, on Thursday, we'll get him to flesh this out a little bit. But he is definitely on the right track. As I said, anybody who's done their homework understands the cyclical nature, and it's just, you know, when does the cycle change? It's not if, it's when.
So, Chris, this is like poking it in the eye to the concept of just because I drive my car down the road, I'm going to destroy the planet. Or I'm going to cause the entire climate to change. If I don't do recycling in my recycle bin and I throw something in the wrong container, it's going to absolutely destroy the earth.
Well, in a comical sort of way, you just hit right on the nail on the head.
Everything's my fault, isn't it?
It's not that it's your fault. It's that it's your behavior. That's what this is all about. It never was about the climate. It always was about one human being being able to tell another human being how to live his life.
And also money.
That's all tied up. Well, it's all tied up in that.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you can tell some other human being how he has to live his life, you now have control over his pocketbook.
If you can create an entire recycling corporation giant thing that goes around just to recycle separately from picking up your garbage,
this is the MO of the liberal. All of their protestations, whether it be about inequalities in income, whether it be about climate change, you just name whatever is important to a liberal. What they are really after is to control your life. It is as pure and as simple and as unadulterated as that. Now, if you folks out there want to let them do it, that's fine. Personally, I don't think they're nearly smart enough to do it. And Nostradamus, you better be teasing me. You better not have done what you texted me. You just said you did.
All right. Well, we're also talking, Chris, here about the thought police, and that's another thing liberals like to do.
Exactly.
They want to control thought,
your brain,
attitude,
control your behavior.
Everything. Right. One hive. They want one hive, not the American adversary.
Resistance is futile.
Warm, cold, clear, or cloudy.
We've got the answer.
Listen, AM660.
The answer.
Get the answer when weather threatens.
AM660.
The answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, in another holiday midnight maneuver, this time by Eric Holder's Justice Department, the administration has found another way to gather data from the Internet.
Chris, you're right. I mean, come on, every day it gets more crazy, and you think, God, it cannot possibly be like this, and it is. So here's the deal. The Justice Department announced that it's spending over $500,000 to, quote-unquote, enhance its company profile on LinkedIn. And basically what this means is the Department of Justice, which, by the way, enforces the federal criminal laws, will use the LinkedIn recruiter option to post job advertisements. Okay, so we talked about metadata yesterday and how absolutely everything can be tied to your phone number and your social media. Well, LinkedIn has totally broken this wide open, and now the Department of Justice is going to have access to the 250 million users that LinkedIn has through its recruiter service.
And that's worldwide. So in order to target their ads now to people that they're seeking, they're going to have to know a lot about everyone in order to be effective at that.
Well, of course. And they say it's to recruit. But honestly, Chris, on the LinkedIn, all of us know, on LinkedIn, Facebook, any of the social media, we list the things that we prefer. We talk about the jobs we've had. We talk about all of our personal data, even though it could be a professional site like LinkedIn says it is, but it's still going to have your personal data, your personal information. And if we don't think the Department of Justice is going to use that as part of their entire scheme or their plan, in my opinion, to get as much information on the American people as possible, then I think we're living in a crazy world.
Well, you're absolutely right. Thanks, Ted. Please, folks, protect yourself and take that cure for ignorance. Go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
AM 660, The Answer. Time saver traffic.
This update is brought to you by Lowe's Hotels Orlando. Stop and go traffic for those of you traveling on the 408 eastbound at Colonial Drive, also dealing with delays on the Beach Line westbound between I-Drive and I-4, and on I-4 eastbound at Orange Blossom Trail. A new year, new career, Lowe's Hotel seeks the friendly and experienced individuals to join their Universal Orlando Hotels, Portofino Bay, Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, and opening soon, Cabana Bay Beach. Go to this station's website, keyword jobs. That's your Orlando area traffic.
Here's another American-made, American-strong spotlight from AM 660, The Answer. With downsizing and outsourcing, now more than ever we need to support local businesses that keep Central Floridians and Americans working. FAS Exteriors is such a business. Locally owned and operated, FAS sells and installs the finest American-made thermal replacement windows, doors, and exteriors. AM 660, The Answer reminds you, shop FAS. Keeping Americans working keeps America strong. Online at FASWD.com.
AM 660, The Answer. AccuWeather
forecast. Sub-freezing temperatures tonight, and there are wind chill advisories and freeze warnings in effect for the region. It'll be windy and much colder, low 29. Add in the wind, it'll feel more like 15 to 20. Partly sunny and quite chilly tomorrow, high 49. Another cold night tomorrow night, low 35. I'm meteorologist Brian Edwards on AM 660, The Answer.
Drive to Work with Bill Bennett tomorrow morning at 6 on AM 660, The Answer.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, the king of automation, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's
And we're back, we're back, we're back, three times.
Stress that.
I love that. By the way, before I go to phone lines, separate from this article by Mr. Casey, John Casey, which was, as I said, it's an op-ed that came out in the Orlando Sentinel this past Saturday. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about solar activity and how it is perplexing the solar scientists in the world, because this is where, and once again, everything in nature works on cycles. Everything, as does the sun.
Yep.
Solar activity works on a cyclical nature. And we are now, the sun is now when it should be at its peak of solar flares, solar sunspots, and things like this. Mm-hmm. And they ain't there. And the ones that are showing up are greatly reduced in magnitude and intensity. Something is going on. And so this man knows what he's talking about. Somebody else that knows what he's talking about is Nostradamus. But I want to go to Rick first because he knows what he's talking about usually as well. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you for calling.
Yeah, happy new year, even though I disagree with you. By the way, before I get into what I wanted to mention, I want to take issue with something you said about a plant in Arizona is okay to pollute the water. I just want to say I have not heard you say anything about Malala. I think she's one of the greatest heroes in the world. The girl got shot for wanting an education.
In India.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, it wasn't India. It was
Pakistan. I'm sorry, Pakistan. Yeah.
Oh, we're behind her. I think she's extremely brave.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you touched on two subjects. Now, last night, what I said was there's a copper mine, and I didn't say it was okay to pollute. What I said was the copper mine is being accused by the EPA of possibly polluting 18 miles of a river in Arizona where there are over 39,000 rivers and streams. Which...
Yeah, but it sounds like you said it's okay, even with polluting is...
No, I didn't use the word pollute at all. What I said was that the EPA keeps coming back to this company saying, we have this problem. We have this problem with this frog. We have this problem with this moth.
Yeah,
we have this problem with this,
started up yet.
With this section. Yeah, they haven't turned the first spoonful of dirt. And at every turn, they are responding to the EPA's concerns. What the point I was trying to make is, here is this president talking about how somehow a capitalist or a free market economy can't provide incomes at a worthy level for people who need jobs. And yet it is his administration that is doing everything that it can to prevent people from getting decent jobs, which would be at this copper mine. And by the way, the very phone that you're talking to us over right now has a bunch of copper in it. And if we don't mine the copper here, it's going to be mined elsewhere. And it's going to be mined there in a much more haphazard fashion.
Even if you pollute?
What do you consider pollution? Do you pollute?
Well, doesn't everybody a little bit?
Exactly! Doesn't everybody a little bit? Case closed. Thank you very much for calling, Rick. We'll be looking to hear from you some more. But that makes my point right there. You cannot breathe in this world without having some sort of reminiscent trace of it. As a matter of fact, Mr. Lovelock, who I was talking about in the first half of this show, he came to fame. He was a geologist with Shell Oil, and he was very good at finding oil. And because there is this misconception that oil came from dead living plant matter and dinosaurs, when NASA first wanted to launch a probe to Mars, they sought him out. Why? Because he was good at finding oil. So they figured that he might be good at finding traces of life on Mars. So they went to Mr. Lovelock and they said, would you help us out with this? He said, sure, be glad to. And so then he went back to his laboratory and he began to think, well, how do I design an experiment that basically can fit in a shoebox that they can send to Mars? Remember, this is in the 60s. So he sat down and began to work out the task. And you know the first problem he had? It was the first thing. What is life? How do I determine what life is? This is what the Greeks talked about. And you know what the Greeks concluded? Everything's alive. That's why they call the universe the universe. It is one, which is alive. Universe. And his conclusion was, well, I can't go that far. So he went to biologists. He went to chemists. Nobody could give him an answer. He looked in encyclopedias. He looked in the dictionary. Couldn't get a satisfactory answer that he could build an experiment from. So the answer that he finally came to the conclusion of, life is that which takes in something from the environment, alters it internally, and then excretes something else back out into the environment. Plants and animals do this.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks don't necessarily. Interestingly enough, planets do. But that was the conclusion that he came to. And then all he said, well, then all I have to do is look around here at life on planet Earth and determine the traces of life. And it is what we call pollution. And so then he said, well, this is great. Now I can go back to NASA and tell him. So he went back to NASA. You know what he told the people at NASA? He says, yes, I can determine if there was life on Mars. And you know what? Here's the best part about it. You don't have to send a probe up there. We can look through a telescope, and with a prism, we can tell if there's trace gases of life on Mars. And guess what? There was. Hmm. And you know what NASA said? Thank you very much. Don't call us. We'll call you. You want to know why? They weren't interested really in knowing if there was life on Mars. They were more interested in sending a probe to Mars, and they needed a good reason to do it.
Mm. Okay.
So, yes, we all pollute, Rick. It's a part of life. Get used to it. That's the answer, my man. Now, speaking of answer men, let's go now to our very own Nostradamus.
Thank you for that segue, and thank you for not saying, speaking of pollution.
Yeah, speaking of hot air pollution.
Oh, man.
Great work on getting John Casey on Thursday night.
I was just fortunate because he told me he was in the middle of three interviews on the radio that day, and I caught him in between interviews.
All right. Excellent job. Excellent job. I certainly look forward to talking to him. Nostradamus, is it cold enough for you?
You know what? I am not going to complain about the cold when I see that where my mom lives up in New York.
I was going to say.
The other day was 1 degree.
On Long Island?
1 degree. They didn't even have 2 degrees to rub together for warmth. Yeah,
oh,
so
my God.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all.
I guess not. All right.
Did you see the picture we put up on Facebook?
No.
Yeah, it was a street sign from the town of Hell, Minnesota. It had icicles on it. Hell literally froze open.
I've heard that before.
That's great. Speaking of pictures, I was looking in today's Orlando, I believe it was today's, yeah, I think it was today's Orlando Sentinel, and there was a picture of the Obamas coming back. They were walking across the White House lawn there, arriving home from their vacation in Hawaii, and someone was missing, and I was scratching my head. I'm going, let's see, there's Barack, there's the older daughter, there's the younger daughter. Where's Michelle? How come Michelle didn't come back to the White House? Is she still fuming about South Africa?
Now, here's the story.
Okay.
They were having such a great time out there.
Yeah.
And the president was having so much time berating Congress for not acting and being on vacation rather than extending unemployment benefits. He announced that proclamation while on vacation.
While on vacation, yeah. From Hawaii, of all places to go. Oh, golly. So why did Michelle stay?
Well, see, she stayed behind to spend time with friends ahead of her upcoming 50th birthday party. She hits the big 5-0 on January 17th. And as part of Mr. Obama's birthday gift to Mrs. Obama, he let her stick around for a little while longer.
In other words, she gave him some time. He gave her some time away from him as a present.
Yeah, you got it.
I wish to God he'd give us all the same deal.
Now, a couple years ago, Michelle left ahead of him on another vacation, and that change of venue and change of plans cost taxpayers between $65,000 and $100,000. There's no word on when she plans to return, who exactly is picking up the tab for her extra stay there, or what it will cost. But she is staying at Oprah's Maui Getaway, huh?
I guess they ironed out their differences.
I have a list of some of her besties who are sticking around in Hawaii to play with her. You ready?
Yeah.
CBS Morning Show host Gail King, who's known as Oprah's best friend. Valerie Jarrett. Out there?
Of course.
And Sharon Malone is out there.
Who's she?
Well, you don't know her, maybe, but you do know her husband, Attorney General Eric Holder.
Oh.
So they're all just women folks sitting around talking about the men folk, I'm sure.
Dancing in their grass skirts, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I want to see that.
Hey, Dennis, stick around. I want to go to the phones because Diane's holding, and she wants to talk about the environment. We'll come right back to you. Diane, thank you for holding. We appreciate you being out there.
Rocks make sand.
Rocks make sand. Well, you're absolutely right about that.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. The Greeks got it right. I mean, the Greeks got it right. And it jives so much, really, with the Judeo-Christian heritage, which says that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipotent. In other words, everywhere and everything, the universe.
And he's got it covered.
You got it, baby. Hey, thanks a lot, Diane.
Thank you.
We love you. Appreciate you being out there. All right, let's go now to Rick, who wants to make a comment about poor old Michelle being left out home alone in Hawaii. Hey, yeah. Rick, thanks for being with us.
Hey, guys. I heard that it was a birthday present. My question is, do you know if that was his present to her staying there, or was that her present to him, her staying there, so he could sneak in some Five Guys without getting grief?
I think that's just a cover story. She said, you get on back to D.C. I'll get back there when I get good and ready. Next time you want to take a selfie, you think about that. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you being out there. All right, Nostra Dennis, back to you.
I believe they are giving each other that present. It's not as ironic as the comb and the wig from The Gift and the Magi, but I think that's appropriate that they're each giving each other the gift of nothing.
I guess.
What else do you need when you're in love?
Yeah, when you got everything, right? When you got the whole world at your feet, you got the whole world in your hand. All right, but he does have a new legal problem. On a more serious note, our good friend Senator Ron Johnson has filed a lawsuit against the president. I take it, Nostra Dennis?
He sure has, and this is a piece from the Wall Street Journal where he proclaims, this is from the Weekend's website, says that today he is filing suit in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin
to make Congress live by the letter of the health care law. He says, by arranging for me, Senator Johnson, and other members of Congress and their staffs to receive benefits intentionally ruled out by the Affordable Care Act, the administration has exceeded its legal authority. And so he's going in there with that point of view. It makes legal sense that the president has no right to take an existing law passed by the House and the Senate and change it after it's been passed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, it came out published in today's paper, Wall Street Journal. Let me just read a paragraph from it here as well. The legal basis for our lawsuit, which I will file with a staff member, Brooke Erickson, as the other plaintiff, includes the fact that the OPM ruling forces me, that's the ruling that came from the White House, the OPM ruling forces me as a member of Congress to engage in activity that I believe violates the law, like you said. It also potentially alienates members of Congress from their constituents, since these constituents are witnessing members of Congress blatantly giving themselves and their staff special treatment. I believe that I have not only legal standing but an obligation to go to court to overturn this unlawful executive overreach and end the injustice and provide a long overdue check on an executive that recognizes fewer and fewer constitutional restraints. This sounds an awful lot like what our constitutional law expert Michael Connelly was talking about, Nostradamus.
Yeah, it does. And in fact, Johnson goes on to point out, Republicans have tried to overturn this special treatment. They passed in the House a measure back on September 29th, but that was blocked in the Senate. Harry Reid's refused to allow a vote on any amendment like that.
Yeah. So,
and this also falls right in line with Rand Paul's lawsuit, too, over the NSA.
Yeah, although what Rand Paul filed the lawsuit as a simple citizen, not as a senator. So
right.
I like this one better. And I hope these are just the beginning. The Republicans should inundate this White House with these lawsuits for the very same reason. How many times has he changed Obamacare? How many times has he screwed the American public, for at least one group of the American public, to favor another group and violated the law in the process? Every time he should be hit with one of these lawsuits. I love this. It's great.
Now, how many Republican senators do we have now? 46, 47?
45, I believe, 45. Officially.
There should be 45 lawsuits right now.
You better believe it. Exactly. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take the final break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more business, and then I want to remind you once again of the Baca rally that's coming up Sunday. So please stay with us.
They're tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary.
Be with us.
American Adversaries, of course, are here for the first Monday of 2014. We picked a chilly one, didn't we? And it's going to get colder.
Burr, I think I'm going to need to put on another pair of socks and my long johns.
Seven. Chris, I have several words for you. Basically, batteries and electric socks and other things, you know.
Not a bad idea.
What was that episode of MASH where Needle Nose or whatever his name was?
Yeah.
He had the socks, and they were like, why are you so comfortable? Nothing.
There was a couple. There was another good episode when the long johns were making the rounds.
Yes, yes.
All right.
You don't want to share each other's long johns. Though.
Speaking of long johns, we got Nostradamus on the line. Dennis, I could not believe this story about the bus drivers. Even in this day and age, I had a hard time believing this one. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, this is in the Houston School District. Houston bus drivers came together a day or two ago to support a coworker and to protest a move by the school district. Several drivers were reprimanded for praying with a coworker after she'd lost a child who was struck and killed by a car walking home. In response to that, they were reprimanded, and they're praying even more. News of the tragedy spread around the community of HISD, that's Houston School District bus drivers. They spontaneously prayed for one of their own who was grieving. They joined not by holding hands, because they were all in their buses, bringing kids back and forth to school, but by using a back channel on the bus radio system. Rita Thomas with the Educational Support Union said somebody else heard it and called in and reported it to the administration, and they chose to write them up and put notices in their personnel files.
What was the charge, if you will?
The charge was abusing the they were using school equipment for private purposes.
Praying on the job.
A violation of policy.
Just basically praying on the job.
That's right. That's right. Now, they have been praying since then that the reprimands would be removed from the files because they were not suspended. They didn't lose any pay, but a note in the file could impact their ability to drive buses during the summer months. And a lot of these guys and girls who drive school buses, that is their living, and they are they don't get rich doing it. And driving during the summer months is one way that they can up their income just a tiny bit more.
Sounds like they need a prayer rally. That's right, with a whole city coming around and joining and do it right there at the school.
I think so.
Are the churches in the area coming together to provide her with some support?
Well, we've got a couple of churches here. Dennis Campbell with the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church says that he's praying that the bus driver's records will be wiped clean and asks the Lord to bless these bus drivers for blessing you. Because remember what Scripture says, God promises us. He will bless those who bless him. He will curse those who curse him. Another Reverend Bill Lawson with the Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church says, we ask not for special favors, simply for justice. And we ask that you'll see to it that the jobs and the reputations of these people who've been written up will be looked after and that they will be fairly treated.
Wow. I'd like to know who placed the complaint to begin with, but, you know, at some point, why can't a school official say, listen, the lady's daughter, was it a daughter?
Yes.
The child was
12-year-old girl was killed. Yeah.
Was killed walking home from school for a bus driver. Think how a bus driver feels about that. I mean,
it's called common sense, Chris.
Oh, gosh.
It's called common sense. And this is where men with their big, giant brains are so much smarter than common sense and the average person.
Well, guys, I will tell you this. At a job I was working when 9/11 happened, I asked some coworkers to come in with me around lunchtime to pray for everybody, for the folks who were killed, for our nation. And I was taken aside afterwards at the end of the day and told, you shouldn't have done that. Don't do it if it happens again. Thank God it hasn't happened again, but you know what? If it does, when we get another 9/11, I'm going to do exactly the same thing.
And you
All
should.
Right behind you.
All right. Okay, Dennis, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. But thanks for that. We appreciate
it. See you tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And by the way, folks, tomorrow we're also going to be joined by our man from Jerusalem, who is
Abe
back in Jerusalem. And it's probably warmer there tonight than it is here, but that, of course, is going to be Abe Katzman.
Of course, it did snow there a few weeks ago.
Look forward to that because, and I tell you, the situation in the Middle East is rapidly deteriorating. We talked about this on our show last night, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, in our archive. You can hear it. But the situation all around Israel is just coming really unglued.
Yeah, are you folks happy out there that America is no longer the world's policeman? Oh, no, we don't need a policeman. We don't need any stinky big government with the power of helping other people coming in and saving innocent people's lives. Right, Chris?
And protecting our own future in the process. All right, speaking of the future, folks, we will be back tomorrow at 5 with Abe Katzman, so please be here with us. You have been listening to AM 660, The Answer, the American Adversaries, Drive Time.
And sometimes we get the best answers from our listeners. We'll see you tomorrow night, folks.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.